Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, the only podcast that dares to ask the question, what if Mario real life? My name is Tommy Dasilo. We've got a hell of a show for you today. Also joining me are my co-hosts, Ben Vanel.
Hey, Tommy. I've got one question for you.
Uh-huh.
What if Luigi real life?
Ben, I've heard that. I've taken that on board. We'll get to that later in the program.
Okay, all right. Just also, seeding a future discussion.
I'm just going to let that one simmer for a little bit.
Yes.
Also joining us on the show is the other co-host, Adam Knox.
Hello.
Any questions?
None.
Any questions for Ben?
No. What's bugging you this week, I guess?
Oh, I brought up something that was bugging me. Oh, I have a what's bugging Ben, actually. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a what's bugging Ben?
Yes.
I remember, you posted it in the chat and I remember thinking 2005 called and it wants its what's bugging Ben segment back.
Yeah. Okay. So what was bugging me
and
was...
And 2005 called again and said, I want 2005 called jokes back also.
And then it called a third time and said, what if Mario real life?
And then you picked up the phone because it was just going to the answering machine at that point.
27 picked up and said, I'll tell you what, he'd go skipping with real people.
Oh, yeah.
What is 27? Oh, 2017. Mm. Right.
2017 club. I wish I was in it.
Wait, dead?
Yes.
Well, let's do your what's bugging Ben before we get into the main stuff. Then.
Okay, so I've been playing The Last of Us again. So when did that come out, Knox?
2013, when I was 24.
Ah, 26.
27.
I've been playing through the bit with your mate Bill.
Yeah, my mate.
yeah, Knox's mate specifically.
He's been coming around and playing the game with me.
And he keeps, there's a bit where you're like sneaking through a garden and there's clickers everywhere.
Mm.
And he keeps like bumping into them and hacking them with a machete when you're sneaking.
Yeah.
And it just ruins the whole thing.
Like classic Bill.
Classic Bill. And that was bugging me. Companion AI that fucks up stealth missions.
Yeah.
Or even companion AI that's basically invisible to the enemies where like they're standing right in front of them, but you know the game kind of goes it because you fail if your companion dies.
Yes.
So like it kind of goes a bit easy on them where they're standing in plain sight.
Yeah.
And they should have been gunned down 100 times over.
Yep.
But the enemy just can't seem to hit them.
That was like a lot of games in that year. Bioshock Infinite did that as well.
Yep.
There's this Sherlock Holmes game that I've seen a clip of where if you, like, you're with Watson, you're Sherlock, and Watson's hanging about.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, walk away from Watson and then stop looking at him and then turn around, he'll be right behind you.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yeah.
Which is really great.
Yeah,
how does he do it? It's elementary, my dear Grotson.
Grotson?
Yeah, I just said Watson differently because I realized I didn't have anywhere
said
to go.
Differently, differently.
Baby, don't try and control me, language. I'll scray what I want.
Oh, levels.
Levels. So we need to talk about a big event.
Kevin.
Have you seen that film?
No
Have you
idea.
Read the book?
No idea what it's about.
It's about a depressed teen, right?
No, it's about a murderous child, isn't it?
You'd probably be a little depressed if you were murderous.
I guess so.
Yeah, I don't think anyone who's like in a super great space of mind goes on a murdering spree.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm happy. A little too happy.
Yeah.
Time to set a little challenge for myself in life.
Ted Bundy Mondays. Time to go killing again.
We need to give a bit of let's backtrack a bit to begin with. So this time last week we put out an episode of 2017 predictions. Mm-hmm. We looked ahead at games that are coming out this year. Friday was the big Nintendo Switch launch presentation where they detailed a lot of information about the Switch. We watched that together and we recorded a little mini bonus episode of our thoughts and reactions to that, which we put up immediately after on the Friday afternoon. So if you missed that in your feed, go back and check that out. It was pretty good, even though me and Knox had to share a mic. And someone messaged us on Facebook saying that I think they thought either one of me or Knox was – someone's housemate just talking in the background.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they said, was that someone in the background? Was that Tommy's housemate in the background?
Yeah.
Or are you sharing a mic? Which at the start of the episode we said, we're at Ben's house and we're sharing a mic.
Yeah, and like, big fan of the show who can't differentiate, but like who literally cannot recognize our voices if we're even slightly off mic.
To be fair, I don't think this is on this person. I think this is on us, but... Like, the mic died immediately before we started recording.
Yeah.
It was so annoying.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was a hot presentation. We had some hot takes.
Yeah.
And then we did not have a hot mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that we're sitting there shitting all over Nintendo, look at these bozos. They can't even run this presentation properly.
That guy talked a little bit too long. Anyway, I guess I'm yelling this into a tin can.
Just to go back to the presentation quickly, I don't think we talked about this at the time. I've become obsessed with Bill Trinan, the Nintendo rep from America, who just looks like the biggest wet blanket of all time.
Yeah.
He looks like a total dweeb.
He's like Jack Lemmon in what's that fucking movie?
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, Glengarry Glen Ross.
From a man who couldn't even pronounce says before, Glengarry Glen Ross, quite a tongue twister.
Yeah,
Glengarry Glen Ross. Did it. I got brass balls.
Did we talk about old slippery Bill Trinan in the last?
You started calling him Slippery Bill.
Yeah, no, there's something about I love the idea of just mythologizing Bill Trinan a bit more.
Like, yeah,
I love the idea that he's never played a game that's rated higher than PG.
Yes.
I love the idea that he's genuinely terrified of Luigi's Mansion. Like it's like Resident Evil for him. Like he's spooked. His wife won't let him play it unless she's around.
Yep.
He's never finished the first level of Mario 2 because just Birdo gives him a big stiffy. Something about this like kind of trans character sort of really sets him off.
Yep.
Anyway.
You've given him so much depth. Like, more depth than he probably
has. More depth than he has in real life. Yeah.
That like bullshit Zelda timeline they came up with is like his Game of Thrones.
Oh.
It's like...
Yes.
It's such an intricate world they've made. I definitely didn't stupidly work backwards from because a bunch of people wouldn't shut up about all the Zelda games being connected, even though they're obviously definitely not.
Yeah.
What's the timeline between all the Mickey Mouse cartoons? Where is he in this? Yeah, it's so annoying.
He still, after all these years, doesn't understand the rules of Tetris, literally doesn't understand how to play it.
Yes, yes.
why do the blocks just sometimes randomly disappear? I do not get it.
Do I have to spell my name with them? What's happening?
He thinks he's trying to build like a house, but the blocks keep disappearing. The foundation is ruined.
So anyway, Slippery Bill Trinan. I kind of was like joking with my friend going like, oh yeah, I bet it's a great presentation. Then Bill comes out and fucks it up.
Yeah.
Knowing full well, as if Bill Trinan is going to be in this Japanese presentation. We get near the end and the guy from EA comes out to give his pitch. Who do you... The tallest man on earth.
Fee-fi-fo-fames. We're developing some games.
I bumped my head on the moon.
Fee-fi-fo-fifa. So he comes
I'm
out.
I'm going to smoke this reefer.
a little left turn there.
Yeah, a little bit of a... Hey, you thought I was going to do a backflip? Nope, I rode a motorbike instead.
Mm. So everyone in the conference center that's happening in, they're all sitting there going, fucking hell, is this a solar eclipse? No, it's just the guy from EA coming out. Who's bringing up the rare, but old Slippery Bill Trinan himself.
Yep.
Old Spinning Trinan is behind him.
So he comes out. What's he doing? He's just translating this motherfucker into Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, he works for Nintendo. He doesn't get to reveal any cool games. He doesn't get to talk about Nintendo of America's strategy. He doesn't get to be in a cool sketch with Big Shiggy in the Nintendo store. He got cucked by his own company.
Yeah.
He just had to stand there and translate this other motherfucker from a worse company into another language.
I think in your characterization of him, he probably loved that.
I reckon he did love it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's impressive to be able to translate stuff. Because one of the translators they hired couldn't do it in that presentation, which was so like, I felt really bad for that dude.
And did you see they've re-uploaded it? They've re-uploaded the presentation with a new translation.
Well, because that Suda guy clearly went off script.
Yeah.
Because you heard there was just a few seconds of silence and the translator went...
and then he said so, which is never like that's not a good sign.
Yeah,
but good on him because he got pretty much, I think, what was happening across.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't translate English to other English.
I was going to say, like, just be able to speak Japanese if you're, you know, if you've had to learn it is very impressive.
Totally.
Like,
I remember watching Rogue Live years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Gretel Colleen was on, and she was bragging about how she can hear someone talking in her ear and then repeat it. And I remember everyone in the audience being like, ooh. And then thinking, like, you mean you can say something someone else said
to
you?
Yeah, you can mimic something you just heard.
Like,
yeah.
I could do that. Start saying some shit, Ben.
All right, so I'm going to talk about
Adam Knox is a real big boy. See?
But isn't the challenge...
Perfect.
Like, you've got to still be listening while you're... Like, you've got to be talking and listening at the same time and formulating that into...
Yeah, and I think it was more that, like, she could be talking about something else and they could say, okay, next we've got to, you know, bring this douchebag Big Brother person out.
Yeah, because that's not that impressive what you just did, because all Ben did was say, Adam Knox. So yeah. All you had to do was just listen to that and say... who you are.
If anything, that's when true. I started talking, it threw you off, yes, Ben, as well.
I had to stop and think, what am I going to say next?
Have you ever used one of those voice jammer things?
What?
A voice jammer?
Say what?
What? It's like an app for your phone or whatever, and you put in headphones and it takes what you're saying and then plays it back to you with like a half second delay or something.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it is incredibly difficult to speak normally.
Oh, right.
Because you hear yourself. And like, I sometimes have worked at a call center in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that shit happening, like you'll get a little bit of echo in the thing.
Yeah.
So you ring up some stranger, go, hello, can I do...
Yeah.
Anyway.
I hate that when you get a dodgy phone line where you can hear yourself. It's impossible to have a conversation.
Yeah. So,
anyway,
slippery Bill, good on him.
But in that translator's defense, like, it's not his fault. It's no reflection of his skills as a Japanese-speaking man.
Mm.
It's not his fault that the suda guy is a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
That's not...
That he comes out and starts fucking dabbing and shit. Like, what's English for that? I don't know.
Anyway, slippery Bill Trinan. We're over the next couple of months, we're gonna get some spicy slippery Bill content, I reckon. If you don't know who we're talking about, Google him and look him up, because he's something about him just brings me great joy. Anyway, so we watched that, and then we did our quick episode. We all left, and I got to tell you guys, walking home from here after that presentation, I finally understood. I'm not into sports. I understood the feeling of being like having your team in the grand final and then winning at halftime, and then just fucking it superbly in the second half and losing the game. Like,
one of the players is lying on a couch. What are you doing?
I was, it's like the players all standing around going like, yep, we're going to kick some goals. We're definitely going to kick some goals here. And then they don't show you any evidence of them kicking any goals.
Yeah.
So I was
in December, we'll kick one goal.
I was walking down Smith Street. It was raining, just to add some beautiful poetry to the whole situation. And it just felt like every group of people I walked past that I could see in a bar that was having fun, it looked like they were doing that deliberately to mock me specifically. It's like, how can these people not know what's happened?
Oh.
So then we get up Saturday morning and we went to the hands-on media event for the Nintendo Switch, which we were lucky enough to get an invite to.
Which we appreciate as well. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Now let us tear it apart.
So it was at the... I had some hesitations about this event because it was at the convention center, which I kind of thought it was going to be like in the bit where PAX was, which is huge. And I sort of thought, oh man, this is going to be like... There'll be two Switch consoles there and, you know, we'll have to stand in line for like an hour and a half to play 4 minutes of Zelda.
Yeah.
So we get there and it's actually like kind of right out the back of the convention center in like a much smaller bit. And we got there, we got given a little cookie with the Switch logo on it.
Oh, that's right. I didn't take one.
I made a little joke like to the people at the counter. I was like, wow, is this the console? It was pretty well received. Back me up here, guys. They did laugh.
Yeah, those PR people who were paid to be there and be polite certainly were polite about it.
Well,
thank you.
Question answered.
So then we sort of sat in a waiting area for like half an hour
Someone dressed up as Mario lolloping about.
Yep.
Couple of ciders. They gave us like beers and ciders.
I'm going to say at this point, I'm very impressed. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
free food, free beers.
There were helicopters outside the window.
Yeah, we did look at a helicopter.
Completely unrelated.
I mean, that's sort of got nothing to do with Nintendo. That's but
the power of flight is amazing.
Yeah.
At one point,
how far we've come in 100 years.
I know.
At one point, the helicopter took off, and it honestly looked to me for like 5 seconds as if it was heading straight towards the building we were in. So that was a bit...
Master Chief, isn't it? Fuck you. I was going to say, I guess Crash Bandicoot would have been, Sony one.
So this, it was just Mario, a bunch of big banners with the Switch logo on it, a couple of little displays of like, here's all our consoles.
The old consoles, that was cool.
And they're passing beer around, so already this is a bit more, this starts to feel a bit more like a kind of, like we're really being wined and dined by a big corporation.
Yes, literally.
I thought it was just going to be a bit of a cattle call thing, like just get in there. But, them passing drinks around felt like a very un-Nintendo thing,
there were two children there, felt very out of place. It was
definitely.
You Slippery and Adam Bill only has a cordial, though. Slippery Bill only drinks cordial.
You spoke over Tommy's joke.
What was Tommy's joke?
That we were the two children.
Yeah.
Oh, we were the two children?
Yeah.
Tommy, I'm so proud of your joke. Well done. That cookie does look like... That would be weird if that was the console. That's nuts.
Thank you. This is what I'm saying.
This guy comes in here and brightens our entire day with one kind word. Well done.
So then we get led into a second area where we... It's like a slightly smaller room, if anything.
Yes.
Where we're now just standing around a TV. And the whole thing at this point is starting to feel a little bit Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. We then were forced to just watch a video about how the Switch works.
Well, it was just from the presentation as well, I think.
From the presentation and not dubbed.
With the Windows Media Player bar up the whole time and blocking out the subtitles.
So you're literally just watching Mario Kart with a Japanese dude talking over the top of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which was fucking awesome.
I mean, yeah.
No, it
was cool.
Standing around like that, I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be terrible. Because, like, if you can't move the mouse slightly off of the Windows Media Player bar, and your only job is to be in PR and show people presentations, fucking go jump in one of those helicopters and crash it into yourself.
Whoa. Wow.
Drive it up your own ass.
It was one of those things I was thinking, like, that's something that would only happen at the Australian event for something like this. Anywhere else, like America, Japan, there's absolutely no way. It's such a small thing, but there is no way they would allow a presentation. Like, there's something just so Australian about that to me. Like, does it? Oh, we got the media player, whatever. I can't work out how to meet.
That shit pisses me off so much. Like, when someone will just leave a mouse cursor in the middle of a screen when they put a movie on. Yeah. Like, but at a big how do you like, not see it?
Yeah.
But at a big thing like that, I do find it, like I said, very charming and very Australian. Like,
it made me laugh.
We're a bit shit over here, aren't we?
We
caught a glimpse of the desktop. When we went in, which one of you pointed this out? When we went in, there was a big screen that had the Switch logo on it that was like maybe the lowest res JPEG that's ever existed. Like, it was so blurry.
Yeah, that's great.
The audio visual guy on that day, you fucked it, mate.
That is very Australian because the ABC, which if you're from America or somewhere, Australian Broadcasting Company or Corporation, they, if you go there and have to be given a visitor badge, again, extremely low resolution ABC logo. It's like 8 pixels.
It's
really, really weird.
Yeah.
This is a really Australian thing for some reason. I've never noticed this before.
Well, again, I'm assuming it's an Australian thing. I mean, it feels that way, but it's just funny to get a big reminder where you're in this big corporate thing and it's like this big presentation and you sort of think everything's going to be perfect. And it's a reminder that it's just run by a couple of dudes, and gals, but it's just run by a couple of people.
So much more politically correct now. Gals as well.
And some broads.
Some skirts in there as well.
A couple of dames brought their gams along and helped with a little bit of, not the heavy lifting, but they did.
Few dongs, few front bottoms, a whole mix, a whole range. But yeah, this is just a reminder that it's like, this is just, it's not like a media event isn't this like grand thing that is like not beholden to the laws of like having to go into your desktop to open a media player.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, we are really focusing on the wrong parts of this day.
I know,
we?
Yeah. We started with, we played the Switch 20 minutes later.
Let's tell you more about the resolution of this JPEG.
All right, well, so, this, anyway, here we so go. Then, this is it. We walked in.
Then the video ends and then we walk in and immediately my reservations and fears of the day. Because, at this point we should point out too, there's only like maybe 50 of us at this event.
Yeah,
like
at
there's
most.
Not that many people there at all.
Yeah.
So we go into this big room and there's kind of a bit of, what's the best way to describe it? There's a big mix in each corner. There's kind of a mix of TVs with the Switch attached to them.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of like tables that just have the Switch in portable mode.
There's like 10 different stations, bigger ones dedicated to individual games. Then along one of the walls, there's like 12 little booths.
They looked like arcade consoles.
Yeah, for like the third party things.
Yeah,
like
Bomberman, Street Fighter, Sonic Mania, Bomberman. Has been Heroes.
Yep.
Just a bunch of
that racing one.
Then in the center of the room is like a big sort of construction of like these sort of four rooms in a circle facing outwards with glass.
Yeah.
And there are these poor actors inside who are dressed as cowboys and samurais. And that was 1-2 Switch.
Yeah. So the way you played 1-2 Switch was you would line up and you would sort of pick which of the games you wanted to go play.
Yeah.
And then.
And it wasn't all of them. I think they've announced 6 of those so far, and there were maybe 4 of them here.
Yeah, well, let's go through in order. So we go in. Okay. We were kind of one of the first people to walk in.
Yep.
And so I just kind of went, well, Splatoon was kind of, well, as you walked in, it was Mario Kart along one wall and then Splatoon in the corner. And I thought, oh, well, let's start off with that because I know you guys hadn't played it.
Yep.
I thought this would be
Splatoon 2.
Splatoon 2.
Yep.
I'm keen to sort of see what that's like. So we go in and, yeah, they kind of waited until there were 8 of us and we did 2 matches of 4-on-4.
And this is using the Pro Controller on a TV.
Yeah.
Yes. So at this point, it's like still not really the Switch that we're, you know, it just feels like a regular video game.
But for me also, like, I'm always much more of a fan of like the Pro Controller of over like whatever weird, you know, like I prefer the Pro Controller on the Wii U to and using so the gamepad.
The Pro Controller for this, I guess we should describe this shit. Like,
yeah,
it felt good. It was like well built. It had like sort of a frosted glass, like see-through look to it.
Yeah, a little bit of
really cool,
like the N64 clear controller.
Yeah,
style.
Yeah. Like the Game Boy Color used to look and that sort
that's
of shit.
I thought that was a cool throwback. That's the default. That's not like a special edition. I thought that looked really cool. And yeah, I remember that like that day, that era of like making everything see-through.
Yeah,
and that kind of an audacious thing because you look at it, you're like, there's fucking nothing in here.
Yeah.
It costs like $70. There's like one chip in here.
Yeah. The chips don't go away to the top of the packet.
Yeah, especially the 64 controller with the prongs. It's it's like 80% empty space.
Yeah.
And that and with
just trapped a bee in each one.
With PS1 controllers, I remember seeing like being freaked out by how one of the rumbles was small and one was big. Anyway.
Freaked out.
Yeah, it scared me.
Freak out.
Anyway, so the left and right triggers that would be like the analog ones on a PS4 or an Xbox controller would just
a clicky button,
digital
click
ones.
And, yeah, click and button.
Yeah, yeah, which I read this on the internet and I hadn't thought about it, but it's a good point. You remember how they said they're going to emulate GameCube games possibly?
Yes.
Or no, they haven't said that actually, I should be clear. People have wondered whether they will.
Yeah.
GameCube. But yeah, that's a leak thing that's pretty hotly speculated.
And it would make, I don't think it will happen because the Wii U didn't do it and this, like, not to jump too far ahead, seems like about the same as a Wii U in terms of power, just from what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
I can't back that up with, like, hot specs.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but what, like, the Wii U could have done it. I think it's more about...
But I don't think it could have emulated it, though. It definitely... I don't think that...
Why not?
Like, you still think it would have needed to be on a cartridge or a disc?
Well, because the way that the Wii did it is because it literally had GameCube hardware in it, so it didn't emulate it. And then the Wii U didn't play GameCube games, right?
Because
it didn't. No, it couldn't. But they never. And they. It's more that that GameCube stuff is going to finally come to the virtual console.
Yeah, but I don't think that it maybe is even possible.
What?
Because it's not powerful enough.
To emulate
something, you need like 10 times the power of that thing because emulation is like such a complex process that you need a way more powerful thing to do it.
Yeah. But the
Listen, Wii U... I ain't no scientist, but like this is what I've read.
Okay, right. Yeah. I've not ever heard that.
I read it on wrongfacts.com.
But you read it on Snopes.com with a big red cross next to it.
But how's Wrong spelt? Is that the guy's name who runs the site?
Yeah, Jeremy Wrong.
Sounds racist, doesn't it?
That's why I said Jeremy. I tried to pick a really... But those little triggers, someone just pointed out, even if they did do it, the GameCube had those like analog ones and then you'd click it in at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And how would you do them with just a button?
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
It felt good. It had the gyro thing in it, which was used for the aiming for Splatoon 2.
The first time I realized that it was gyro aiming, I nearly fell over. I was so...
freak out.
Yeah, I freaked out. I just got totally unbalanced and was like, whoa.
That's really weird.
You two are the most precious people I've ever met. You're having a fucking panic attack over the rumble being a different size.
I didn't have
You're
a panic attack, I just freaked out.
You're falling over once you realize how a controller works. God.
No, but like I was caught off balance. Like I had that, I felt, you know, dizzy or whatever.
That's not the bit we're not clear on.
Yeah, I like how you keep defending yourself by just saying the thing again.
I had vertigo.
Yeah.
I had extreme vertigo as though I was tightrope walking, but over a controller being having technology from 10 years ago.
Yes, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like. I got really annoyed by the aiming in that because I just like kept trying to use the right stick but would move the controller a little bit just in my hands, so it felt like I was always aiming shittily.
The Nintendo reps could not have predicted the range of emotions that their demo of Splatoon 2...
It is something that I think I would adjust to, and it's just because I didn't play Splatoon 1 at all.
Yeah. So I will say I've never been a fan of gyro controls. I tend to turn them off.
Yep.
I hated in... Which Uncharted was it where you fucking threw grenades using the tilt of the PlayStation controller?
Oh, three? In the first one, that must have been.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I hated all that kind of stuff. And look, it remains to... I've only played Splatoon now for, whatever, 10 minutes or something, so it remains to be seen whether I will eventually turn it off. But having played the first one a fair bit, I actually found this to be more like... Yeah, I actually found it really good. I found it a lot more responsive than I've ever found it before, a lot more intuitive and... I mean, yeah, this comes from me having like already known the controls, which I guess makes it different to your guys' experience, but it just gave it that little extra, because you could still use the right stick to kind of overcompensate
for the
gyro, but just for those little quick movements, I actually found it really good.
I agree. Mm. It felt good when you remembered it was there, but I just kept sort of forgetting and then like...
I mean, it's a little annoying when you like default kind of how you hold your hand. The gyro kind of makes your view kind of tilt right down.
It can make
so
it a little uncomfortable sometimes to hold it like in an odd position. But
I'm sure you can tweak the sensitivity of it.
And it'd make more sense if you were playing it. Oh, actually, it might be more annoying if you're playing it on the screen because we did do that later on. I guess we'll skip because it's still Splatoon 2. We played it again just before we left.
Yeah.
And that was on the full Switch thing with the controllers slotted into the sides just off of the screen on the Switch.
Yeah, just playing the Switch in portable mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, in handheld mode.
Sorry. Which I think makes sorry that I didn't use the terminology.
Well, you were going to... You were just explaining it in like what took like two sentences when there's one word
for it.
It
was a series of electronic chips that sent messages to each other through the power of electricity.
Now, I didn't play it in handheld mode. How was it different? Was it better?
I guess first we'll just describe what it feels like to hold the Switch, maybe.
Actually, let's very quickly say that this event was extremely well run.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have to line up for more than about 3 minutes to do anything.
Yep.
I kind of went in with a pretty clear... Once I kind of got the lay of the land, I kind of went, okay, I want to do this and this and this. I want to play Splatoon. Like, yeah, we just went in on Splatoon 2 on the TV. I was like, I definitely want to come back and try it in handheld mode.
Yeah.
And it was very easy to just kind of walk around and sort of... Yeah, like I wanted to try the Switch in all the in all the different modes, in all the different formats. And what was great about this event was I didn't leave with any regrets. I didn't leave going like, oh, it would have been really cool to have a go of Zelda, but it was just going to be too long a wait or anything. Like, it was very easy to get around and actually have a go of everything.
We were able to get a really good idea of what the Switch will be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For better or worse. So holding the Switch thing, it feels good.
Yeah.
Like it's like a high quality. It feels solid. The weight feels about right. It feels about as heavy as like a big iPad.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's like not uncomfortable to hold, but it feels solid in your hand. It feels like it's there.
Like I went back and played the Wii U for a bit on Sunday, and comparatively now, I mean, it always felt like this, but even more glaringly now, it feels like a toy. Like
yeah.
It feels
very
like
plasticky.
It's very plastic.
Yeah.
It's very hollow feeling. It feels very cheap. The screen is fine, but the screen on the Switch is the screen on the Switch is a lot better than I thought
it
would be.
It is crystal clear.
It's very crisp.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like... I mean, you know, they say that the dock that you put it into is there's an extra fan in that, and that's kind of upscaling it for the TV.
Yeah.
Or it's making it so that it can run a bit better on the TV.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel, certainly in what we played, it doesn't feel compromised when it's off screen.
No.
It feels and in possibly fact, better.
Yes. Let's tease this. Coming up later on in our walkthrough of this,
We
have got, I mean, it's rare that this happens, but the three of us have a bombshell opinion.
We have got a hot take.
That we all share. Yes. It's rare for us.
Yes.
What's that?
That's me touching the take because it's so hot.
That's the snake, the take snake.
Yeah. I'm a take snake. I got a couple of things to say.
So yeah, sorry for veering so quickly off track. I know some of us in the room may be feeling a bit dizzy at what just happened. Slightly off balance by the way I chose to railroad this story.
Yes.
So quickly, we're jumping ahead. So anyway, just quickly.
Screen looks great.
What did you guys think of Splatoon 2?
Oh, it was really fun.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'll also note for the record, so we played two games with a group of like eight people, including Tommy, who's played it before.
Mm.
Nox and I were the one and two in both matches. We won or came second.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me guess, that gave you the bends?
The bends, yeah. But Tommy, you didn't even podium. What
didn't
are you doing?
I?
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not very good at it.
Like, that's I what, like I, was, it even that's what I was trying to say.
I mean, it was good. Like, playing with that controller just feels like a shooter type thing. But then it's one of those things with every shooter where a lot of people aren't playing the objective, which is to cover the ground with paint as much.
Yes.
I think that's how we, because we were doing the thing you're meant to do.
Yeah.
That's but, what's fun about that game is like, it's some shooters, if you're no good at them, they're just not fun because you just get destroyed.
Yeah.
But that game, you can happily...
You can fuck
off. You can
and,
just avoid people as much as you can and just cover terrain. And the mechanics of you turning into a squid and swimming through the ink, it's so satisfying. Like, it feels so cool.
That was great.
It feels great. From the maybe 20 minutes of the first one I played as well, it feels identical to that.
Right.
And would you agree with that? Like, it feels really, really similar.
To the first one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean... We're jumping ahead. I guess we'll give our overall thoughts of like what's happening with the Switch as a whole at the end.
Yeah.
But that's my one thing. I mean, I'm excited for this game to be on a system that potentially more people have and being able to play local multiplayer with friends, because I love playing it and I would love to play it with more people that I know. Like, I think it's a really fun game. But yeah, as a sequel, you could have just told me that was like a remaster of number one.
I mean, it probably is.
I don't even know if that's a new... That level that we played it on that was on the demo...
It didn't look like it, did it?
I don't even know. I mean, I guess it's just the art style that they're sticking with, so how much should you really expect it to change? But to me, it just didn't... It that could have been a level from the first one, I think. Like, I don't even know if that's a new...
Totally.
So I don't know. I mean, it still
But it was fun, and it's a game that a lot of people missed.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, if all it has is new levels and new weapons and slightly tweaked and improved gameplay and a new expanded upon single player mode, the single player mode in number one is surprisingly good.
Mm.
Then cool. But yeah, it's weird how it doesn't. It looks so similar. Like,
Okay. So let's go back to what the Switch is like.
Yeah.
Wait. So then, well, I reckon.
People want to know what the Switch feels like. Like, we're taking it for granted because we held
sure,
it.
But then we went and we played Bomberman R.
Yeah.
The three of us went and played Bomberman R.
Yeah.
With a Switch rep. And that was the
first
time.
Which we will describe immediately after I finish telling everyone what the Switch is
okay,
like.
Okay, sure.
Mate, you're making me fucking dizzy over here. I just, because like the sticks feel very small on the Joy-Con things.
Yes.
When they're like, Joy-Cons
are
those.
But you're still talking about playing it in handheld mode with the screen, with
or just any time,
but
like those Joy-Cons, like when they're slotted into, like with a different game later, we slot them into the controller thing that comes with it, the grip.
The grip, yeah.
And that felt way too small.
Yeah.
It felt really cramped.
Neither of us played it with the grip.
No.
You did.
I got quite big hands as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lemons. but I
good for carrying lemons around.
when life gives you big fat hands,
pick up heaps of lemons.
Drink heaps of lemonade, you fucking loser. Have a beer, you nerd.
So yeah, that felt really cramped, and the things are quite small themselves. The sticks feel like quite little. The buttons on the other one, the A, B, and X and Y buttons, click and feel exactly like the 3DS ones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The triggers on the top are like fine, little thin.
Let's continue chronologically because this does tie into what I was about to say.
This does net with
so we played Bomberman R, and this was us playing it with a Nintendo rep, four of us on the screen, but each holding one Joy-Con,
yes.
Which I guess translates to, so that's like out of the box and then you getting a separate set of Joy-Cons.
If someone had two Switches, you'd have that many Joy-Cons.
So,
Joy-Con him! That's what it always sounds like to me, a New Yorker saying jerk on.
Well, now it will for me as well.
I've got a Joy-Con on tits!
Oh no.
So, yeah, I mean, the thing with the Joy-Con as her like...
Sorry, it's all I can hear.
Or his tits.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing with them as a separate controller, like when we were playing Bomberman, I was like, this is fine. Like, this is a fine stopgap to like, if you were on the road, if you just have friends over and you're playing a quick game, it's fine. They're functional enough.
And you happen to have spent the $80 for an extra set of Joy-Con.
And to be clear, it's so hard to talk about these because I feel like in that presentation they've muddied the waters so much that we really need to be clear and specific when we describe which mode we were playing in. So, this is off the TV, us with the tiny little detached controllers, one in each hand.
With the Switch in the dock.
Yeah.
And it's odd because the for me, I was using the left one, so the stick was in the normal place, but then the buttons were right in the center of the thing.
Yeah.
So I had to move my thumb in quite a lot. It felt almost reminiscent of like having one of those like dodgy malformed like Mad Catz controllers back in the day. It works, but like this isn't ideal.
Yes.
I just feel like tiny
little shoulder buttons at the top, which Bomberman didn't use, but they felt shitty.
They were recessed into like the surface.
Very small, like almost like a power button for an old laptop or something.
But the weird, so I mean, we were playing Bomberman, which you basically only use one button and the control stick.
How did it feel? Because did you have the one that comes on the right?
I can't remember.
With the stick in the center? Because that always looked really uncomfortable to me.
I can't remember.
Right. Okay, so
which,
even if you did, I
guess
you wouldn't have noticed.
It didn't stick out to me. Yeah. But again, like, all we did was walk up, down, left, right from a top-down view and use a button to plant a bomb.
Yeah.
So for that, this is my point with the Joy-Con. It felt like, for that, it felt practical and fun, and I was like, okay, this works, but it's not something that they should be. They're treating this Joy-Con like it's this revolutionary, amazing new control scheme that they've come up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, it's just a practical way. For me, like, you'd only ever use them, when you've got a lot of friends around and you're playing, or you're on the go and you're playing it in tabletop mode where you've got the screen and you've detached the controllers.
Totally. It's a real
out of
push.
It's not like they're these amazing little things that they've come up with. They work, and that's the most important thing. They're practical and they're fine, but it's not something you would ever choose to use if you had any other control scheme available.
Absolutely. They have two fewer buttons as well.
Yes.
Or three, I guess, because you don't get the little plus.
Yeah. And again, it doesn't matter. Like, it just in a purely practical sense, they're fine, but this is this weird thing where they've suddenly...
But
the message of how they're pitching this thing has suddenly changed from it's this console that you can take on the go to check out these amazing controllers that we've come up with.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, I don't get it.
We didn't do this, but imagine using that to play Mario Kart.
Totally.
It would be fucking horrible.
Well, like, and they had Street Fighter with it, and we didn't play that because I kind of knew what it would feel like.
Yeah.
And that would be shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want to use...
Playing Mario Kart with them, I think... would probably be fine. Like, would
Mario Kart again? You've
fine.
Got like two buttons, but I wouldn't want to use the shoulder button that they have there. On
yeah, exactly. Because I
again,
just,
if you had
I
a ton
always,
of friends around
and
you,
stuff,
and
that would be horrible.
If you had a ton of friends around and you were playing on TV, it would be a thing where, or I would take that I would take the Joy-Con. I would let someone else use the Pro Controller because that's easier.
Yeah.
You know, again, I'm sure it's like practical enough, but it's not something you'd ever choose to do if you had the option.
Yep.
Like, which is why... So then, yeah, anyway, so then we... Oh, this is the first time this guy let us have a go at attaching the Joy-Con to the Switch console and pulling it out of the dock.
Yeah.
And this was kind of the thing I was most interested to have a go at. And to and honestly, like, watching the reveal trailer from whenever it was, October or whatever, I have been skeptical about how smooth that transition is. And because it really looked like a very glorified, like, in the video, it's like... It's instant. It's like that. Yeah, I was like, I bet it's not. I bet there's a lot of fidgeting and fucking around with it. And you guys all had a go as well. I found it like pretty much exactly the same as, if not extremely close to how it plays out in that video.
Totally. Yeah. I did it about four times throughout the whole day. And one of the times when I was playing Zelda later, I did it. They encouraged you to do it there. It kind of caught the wrong part of the rail and was a bit fucked. But for the most part, yes.
For really the most part, yeah. First
it
time.
It clicks in, it feels solid. It's very easy to get the screen thing into the dock.
Yes.
That was the thing that I didn't really expect to happen.
The guy, it wasn't like the guy had to go like, now you got to push this and you got to lock this in. Yeah. Literally, you just intuitively can work it out.
Just blunk.
Smash them in, pull it out and you're, and immediately it's back on the screen. And then back onto the TV, it's straight back on the TV.
So that
which
transition,
is super smooth.
That's, yeah, and really that's smooth. Sick. That's really cool that actually stacks
like,
up to what they
that
were.
Yes, that initial ad, it is exactly the same as that you promised.
Because that was a big concern for me, was that it would be just very fidgety and very like clunky and hard to do.
Yeah.
So then...
If you, for example, if you scratch the screen doing that, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you've done something.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of padding in the dock thing, it looked like.
Yeah.
So what did we do? Did we go to...
Arms?
Well, you guys took a photo, I think. Then did we do 1-2 switch?
What a weird thing for the listener to just mention and not elaborate on that we took.
Oh, you had little Mario hats on.
Yeah.
You fucking clowns.
Disappointingly, there was a little booth set up that was just playing the trailer for Mario Odyssey on a loop. And
Looked great. Like,
which looks
Which seeing
looks
that
cool.
in like proper high definition and shit, it looked really good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll save that for the end because that's part of a larger thought. But yeah, that was a cool little concession to not being able to play Mario. They had a little photo booth where you could get a... I've put it up on my Instagram. Maybe we should put it up on the Facebook page and everything.
Yeah.
It's us in a Mario hat. It's me and Ben in a Mario hat.
Living in New Dog City.
Guess who didn't want to participate in something that's a little bit silly?
Oh, I know.
Which idiot did that?
But I thought that was cool. That was a cool little thing to have as a small concession to not being able
free,
to play the
free
game.
Free photo booth. Very cool.
So then we play...
Again, it's all PR bullshit.
But I had to get passport photos done. It was perfect.
Welcome to New Dog City, sir.
It was very funny that and they gave you a little moustache to hold up, which you and I both have moustaches at the moment. So I think then we played...
We might have played Arms
then
after
we played
that,
Arms, Ben, you beat me and then you played Adam.
I didn't get to play the tutorial, so I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So,
I've got a video of you guys playing it that I guess we'll put on Facebook so people can have a look at it.
Yeah, for whoever didn't watch the presentation, Arms is like a boxing game.
It's Wii boxing.
You hold both basically. Of the Joy-Cons in your hands, sort of like thumbs up position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So kind of on the side with your thumb resting on the shoulder button and you use them... to punch.
Mm-hmm.
You tilt them to the left or right to move, which I found very, very shit.
My least favorite motion control thing.
Yes, I hated doing that.
Yeah.
The motion control felt a lot more accurate than a Wii remote ever did.
Totally.
It felt like it was me fucking up, but it also felt like what they were asking me to do was so weird that it was easy to fuck it up.
I found a little bit like my problem with like hold it, because you would have to tilt them both in the same direction to move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my problem with that was every now and then I would try and move a bit quickly and I would kind of throw my hand out a bit too much and it would register that as a punch.
Yeah.
Which is always going to be a problem of motion control.
Totally. I move my left hand just because I'm used to that being my control, guy hand.
Yeah.
I control a lot of guys with my left hand, let me tell you.
Oh.
And... would move the other one wrong and it would block accidentally. Yeah, so it would just
You throw your hands to punch. You can, if you twist slightly, your punch will curve.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you throw both of your hands out at the same time, it reaches both your arms out. So it's a boxing game where you've got these big, long,
and you
robotic
can jam
arms.
Your thumbs on the shoulder buttons to like do a special move and all that sort of shit.
Yeah, so also, basically you you can, yeah, you can grab your opponent, pull them into you, and yeah. then I think if you build up a meter, which I can't quite recall what you do to build that up.
I think
then,
just punching, just getting right, punches yeah. connected.
Landing punches, yeah. that then gives you like a special where you just go into a flurry mode where you're, which was very fun.
Yeah.
Very satisfying doing
the
that.
The actual punching felt good. It was just the movement being
the movement,
so yeah.
the movement also, like the left shoulder button was, I think, dash. So if you
that's
move,
right. That's right.
Yeah. you press dash, right was jump. So you could like jump, dash, move. I took to the controls immediately.
Yeah.
Right. I found it extremely intuitive
and I found
it really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm nitpicking for the sake of nitpicking about those couple of little things. And yeah. I'm sure that's just, you know, it's the weird thing of like being handed it and sort of going, okay, I've got to get this now. Like someone's sort of quickly talking you through it.
Yeah.
Versus being in your couch by, and also we were standing pretty close together at that little booth.
Yeah.
It kind of was a bit hard to really kind of relax and get into it because I kept feeling like I was going to accidentally like kind of bump you or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it definitely.
I'm so strong. I was just worried it hurt someone.
I didn't want to knock you out. I think it'll definitely lend itself more to having a bit more time to kind of like familiarize yourself with it a bit more
yeah.
in the home environment. But I did find it way more intuitive than I've ever felt. It's by the time they brought out the Motion Plus thing for the Wii Remote, it's a bit further than that.
Yeah,
it's better for me, I would say significantly
further.
Yes, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
It felt good, but I didn't like the actual control scheme. But it was accurate.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently you can. I'm very curious to play this with just a normal controller, which apparently you can do.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So I suspect.
Then the problem becomes I don't know if it would be a fun game.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
that, like
yeah,
it was pretty
knows?
Straightforward, and I think the I don't want to use the word gimmick, but the thing of having it be God. That's a much better description. thing. Having the one-to-one boxing feeling
is
its whole thing.
Yeah. Totally. I think I love the art style of this game. It's so cool to see Nintendo with a new IP and very like charming design.
Mm.
I'm interested to see what else is in it, like how much depth there is to it.
Yeah.
It is crazy that it's a new they're calling it ARMS as well, because they could easily call this Punch Out whatever.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
and
weird.
Like I kind of wish they had.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Punch Out 3000 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely
I'm hoping there's a bit more depth to it, because if all it is just like a five characters, you know, one-on-one competitive boxing thing without a robust single player mode or whatever, then it should be a pack-in. I'm hoping that the reason that it's not a day one pack-in is because there is more to it.
Well, so
there
also
needs to imagine,
to be. At the before each round started, you could choose what kind of boxing glove thing you'd have on both hands. So one was like a rocket launcher, and like
sort of like picking a kart in Mario Kart.
Yeah,
Like it didn't feel like they were very different from each other.
No,
I felt a bit of like, there's a buzzsaw. There's one that shoots rockets. I can see there being a bit of strategy in that. And it's also worth keeping in mind, like, this is still, it's still a little while away, so there's presumably some tinkering happening. And
I'd imagine there's more characters and shit.
There's more characters. I'm pretty sure from the press release we read that there's online play on it, so I think there'll be a big, I think there'll be a big competitive scene with it, and I wouldn't mind betting that there's DLC if it's popular enough down the line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, I definitely think it feels really cool. Like, I really liked it. I'm really looking forward to playing more of it.
Yeah, if it ends up having what fighting games used to have, which was like an arcade mode, a versus mode, the mode where you take one character and progress through like a fake campaign and unlocks new characters through that.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. Like,
if there's new arms and stuff to
For me, it's
all about, like with Mario Kart, you unlock the certain Grand Prix by playing them more.
Totally.
Then you unlock new characters, then you unlock new karts.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff.
Yes, and even though that's kind of like a fake depth to a game, it's not like actually like new mechanics.
It's going to keep me coming back, like, you know, wanting to get good at it. Like,
yes.
I just don't know if I found the game appealing enough to bother doing any of that.
Yeah, that's
fine. I mean, I did. I really liked what was there.
Yeah.
And definitely something that I'm looking forward to, like, showing a friend and whatever, and who's perhaps not into Nintendo, and go, oh, yeah, sit down, let's play this. Like, I'm looking forward to having some fun with that.
Speaking of things that maybe don't have too much depth, we then went over to 1-2 Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
We tried out, Tommy and I, the... what was it called? Guess the balls.
Yeah, so
guess who's
ball
balls?
Count. It was called Ball Count.
And this was recommended to us by the guy that was playing Bomberman with us.
Yeah.
So they had So this switch area, yeah, they had four rooms and you had to kind of say to the lady at the kind of managing the line which one you wanted. So there was ball count, quick draw,
milk.
Milk and samurai one. So you and I played ball count and yeah.
So this uses the HD Rumble.
Yes. And this is the, I reckon, not that we played all of them, but this is would far and away be the best example of how the HD Rumble works.
Yes. And it was really impressive. Like, so what happens is you hold the Joy-Con thing like it's a little box with marbles in it.
Mm.
You tilt it around and you can feel balls rolling around in it. So that sounds it really stupid.
Yeah. You hold it on your palm. It feels like as you tilt it that there are balls rolling
around. There are balls moving about. They obey the laws of gravity and shit. You can make them jump a little bit in the box. Like, it feels crazy. And
the game is
really
you both
impressive.
Have to guess how many you've got in your Joy-Con just by rolling it around. And
so the game I would never play more than once.
Yeah.
It's like it's cool to feel, but I have no idea what that would ever be useful for in an actual game.
But this is the thing. We have to stress, and like I was skeptical about all that stuff when the ice cubes thing in the presentation. Yeah. I was like, come on. And when the guy said it to us and he was at the playing Bomberman with us and was hyping it up. You have to try it. It feels amazing. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, tone down the sales pitch.
I cannot stress enough
how
it honestly 110% feels like there are balls rolling around inside the controller.
And it really does. But again, just that sentence is so silly.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's insane.
Yes, you it really
feel
does.
Them, you tilt the Joy-Con. You can feel them hit the edge of it.
Yeah.
You feel them.
You can flick them up. You can get them stuck in the corner and shit.
It's insane.
Like,
it's so good.
It really is very impressive. But who fucking cares?
Yeah. I don't know. So then, let's jump ahead a little bit. We then, you and I, Ben, played the quick draw game.
Yes.
Which is you get a ready and you're holding the Joy-Con in your hand, sort of like a gun with your hand on the trigger.
Yep.
And it basically, when it's time to sort of draw at each other, it vibrates.
Yep.
And so then you have to quickly raise it up and hit the trigger.
Yeah.
And then it kind of shows you on the screen like how accurate, like how high up you got and who won.
Yep.
And who gives a fuck?
Like all of these are just things you're never going to try again. The milk one is you're milking a cow and you slowly like push the buttons as you move the controller down. Fucking who cares?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the samurai one was, but it was stupid.
So
I watched some of the table tennis one the Treehouse stream.
Yes.
And what you do with that is you fling the controller like it's a bat according to the sounds of an invisible table tennis ball, which is crazy and shit because the whole pitch of this thing is like, bring it to a party and fucking do it. So like, okay, I'm sick. Turn the music off.
Yeah.
I want to play table tennis. Yeah. No, not real table tennis.
So this game, like, this is their other big day one launch title alongside Zelda. And it's not a pack-in. It's like it's $70 recommended retail price. I think they have it in their head that this is going to be Wii Sports.
Yeah.
There has to be more to this than what we've seen.
So if there are fewer than like 100 games of this quality, you know what I mean? Like maybe 100 silly, but like at least like 40 or 50, like a crazy higher number than six that they have now. If there's any fewer than like quite a lot, it's a fucking waste of time and money because you're not going to want to play any of these.
Well, the point I was going to make before is that if any of these weird mechanics were in a game, it'd be the most frustrating part of that game.
Yeah, totally.
Unless it was a WarioWare game, which is what this should have been, and there should have been 200 of these.
So friend of the show and online shithead Andrew Levins made the point that all they would need to do to make him be into this, and I agree, just brand it. Brand it with one of the several amazing IPs that you have that any company would kill to have.
I mean, that's just fucking so gross, though, that like, I got a pile of dirt, but it's in Yoshi's shape. Like,
man, you know what? Like, I would be way more interested if this was a WarioWare game and there was some kind of like slight single player element to it where you
kind
of go through and spend a bit of time in front of the telly kind of dicking around with it. I'd be you know what,
but the interesting thing about WarioWare is that it moves so quick, the gameplay is like so paced and like there's such variety in them. That's what you could call that, like Bobware, and just have some guy like, I'm a new Nintendo character, I'm Bob, I've got nothing to me. And it would still be way better than fucking
I mean, there can't just be these six games on it
I think it is
I mean, like, it comes out in 2 months.
Yeah.
What do you have to hide?
Yeah.
You know?
They were all so slow and like not pacey at all.
Completely, overblown and like oversimplified. Like, talking like babyish.
Yes.
You know, like, yes, make sure that you shoot right at him. Make eye contact. With fuck the, you. With don't the, tell me where to look.
Oh, here we go.
With the quick draw thing, it was the most boring, slow-paced quick draw competition.
And how much of that, like, yeah, whether or not you felt awkward that some poor actor had to be a cowboy standing next to you.
I mean, he'd kind of given up. Day, I don't care.
He'd given up by that point as well.
Yeah.
I
just didn't find poor it guy. Fun looking back at the screen and going, oh, okay, you hit the button before
yeah,
me.
I guess you won.
I just didn't find it fun. I didn't feel any sense of competition. At least with the balls thing, it was like, oh, I got it. Like, I got it right. I guessed 4 correctly and you guessed 6.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, cool. I guessed it right. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But
Will that be fun a third time, even a second time?
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. Like, when Wii Sports was announced, I kind of thought, you know, the Miis are in it. And I just wanted a new Mario game. I was like, I don't give a fuck about this. And then that went on to become a huge linchpin.
Totally. But every single one of their games in that had a lot more depth to it than any of these Switch ones do.
That was the big thing about it too. Yeah. But who knows? I mean, look, who the fuck
I know,
knows?
Maybe, I know. Maybe I know. Take to this. I know. It sucks. Yeah. I hate it. I'm getting dizzy.
I just don't get why this is the centerpiece of it.
Because, like, Nintendo are bullshit and it's weird. Anyway.
Well, okay, this quickly also, this whole experience with this ties into another thing that, like, so the Joy-Cons, to buy them separately, are quite expensive.
They're very
expensive. They're like $100 for, like,
that
one
much?
Set or something like that.
That's
I think
heaps.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
It's but maybe so, more for one set. It's like 70 each or like 120 for both or something like that. Ooh. It's crazy. I'll look it up to be
So the
be
tech
insane.
That's in these, with the motion control and the rumble, that must be what's doing it. And this is the weird thing. They know from experience that when they put out a weird control scheme, no one goes for it.
Yeah.
They have two consoles now that are examples of this, of people just not coming to the party with weird
control
schemes.
People kind of did with the Wii, like, initially. With Wii Sports specifically, people
did. Yeah, but
that
was them on day one. And then there was never anything that really justified it to that extent.
Sorry.
So given that you know that that's not going to catch on, why not just not worry about it? And then all of a sudden, you can make the console like $100 cheaper at launch and probably afford to have a extra game that you've made as a pack-in.
Yep.
It just seems like such a weird thing to focus on.
It's so weird.
When,
like, broadly, it feels like they're doubling down on everything they did with the Wii and the Wii U that everyone was like, I'm not so into this.
Yes.
Like, this is basically them trying to realize the potential of what the idea of both of those were.
Totally.
Yeah.
When for 10 years now, everyone's gone, not for me.
Yeah.
Which is fucking insane.
But you know what? So I went back just out of interest on Sunday and played Nintendo Land on the Wii U, which was a launch game. You could get it as a pack-in with the deluxe version of the console, which I got, which had more storage space and was black. The cool color.
Absolutely.
The cool boys color. Mm-hmm. And came with Nintendo Land. Nintendo Land is, I reckon, like the best day one. Like, better than Wii Sports, personally,
I reckon. Call. That's a big call.
Well, Wii Sports, it was like cool when friends would come around and stuff.
See, I played it all the time.
Wii Sports?
Yeah.
Right.
It was like a time killer thing. It was like I'd listen to a podcast or something and, like, get really good at Wii Tennis or really good at boxing. Yeah, well, so I really liked it.
So Nintendo Land, the theme is it's all these little mini games that show off the gamepad gameplay in different ways.
Yep.
And they're all kind of, it's sort of like, you're not playing as Mario, you're playing as your little Mii character dressed up as Mario. It's kind of a cool thing where the setting is like you're in this futuristic theme park and there's all these like attractions that are Nintendo themed.
Right.
So you dress up as Yoshi and stuff like that.
Right.
And so there's all these games where, like, there's one where it's like a Donkey Kong themed thing where, like, you know those like kind of, they're so hard to describe. Like, say it's like a flat screen and there's little, there's like platforms that kind of go down like that.
Yeah.
Like, and you're basically trying to guide this little cart down this course by tilting the gamepad and using the triggers. So, like, on the TV screen, you see the whole thing, but on the gamepad, you just see a close-up of it.
Right.
And you can get caught on different parts of the little course and, like, your thing will kind of blow up and you have to go back to the start.
Right.
That's awesome. Just insane. Like, this is such a good time killer.
Sure.
There's a Yoshi game.
Let me ask you one question though. Mm-hmm. How much eye contact are you making during that?
None, which is what I liked about it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, there were games in that.
Yeah, there's a Yoshi one where like on the screen you have to like draw a line for him to go and like pick up all this fruit,
mm-hmm.
and on the screen you can see where all the fruit is, and on the gamepad you can't. But on the gamepad you have to draw the line.
Right.
So you kind of have to look up to the TV and sort of
right,
go,
right.
Oh yeah, the lemon's like kind of up there, and like. Just all this really satisfying stuff that has real depth to it. There's a Zelda archery game on there that's like really cool and rich.
This
and
was none of that shit. This was just like really plain, really like doing nothing with the mechanic that you've invented.
Yeah.
Just
like, but this, I remember Nintendo Land being so satisfying to me on day one, and also like getting people around and going, how cool is this?
Mm.
There's a chasey game where whoever's it can see the map on the gamepad. The people who are being chased are on the screen and they can't see any of that stuff. Just all this really cool stuff. And it you know, it sort of made me realize like the Wii U didn't even have that bad of a launch. Like it had a new Mario game, a 2D one, but you know, people, those games still sell really well, and it had a great demo for what the system was.
Yeah, it just had like a year after that where nothing came out.
Yeah, and it just had no support of anyone getting
on
board.
Yeah, like Mass Effect 3 and like Batman Arkham City and shit coming out for it. That was always really weird. And the Switch doesn't have that problem because there's no fucking third party thing. And like, Nintendo, like that guy Reggie Fils-Aimé, the American president, said.
No, it's Donald Trump.
He said, like, their plan is, the reason there's not more games at launch is because we want to stagger them out throughout the year to prove to people that, you know, we have staying power.
Yeah.
Fucking silly, in my opinion.
Which, the problem there is
to do both.
Yeah.
I
should be president.
The Wii U had a pretty decent launch lineup, but then there was nothing on the horizon. Like, it came out and, you know, you get a Nintendo, you know, okay, well, a 3D Mario is coming, a Mario Kart's coming, a Zelda's coming, a Smash Brothers is coming. None of that stuff was announced at the time. So I sort of get the theory of going, you are going to be playing stuff in a year's time. But for me, it's not in a year's time. It's like, but what's happening in between July and December this year? Mario Odyssey is apparently done and ready to go.
Like, I've read this.
That was a rumor that it was going to be day one, that it was done. And they've pretty much, they did a presentation in Japan where they pretty much said that. And they said, we kind of wanted to demo it at this thing, but we sort of felt that was a bit crook given that it's not out for ages. Put a demo together.
Yeah.
Put a fucking demo together.
Well, because, that Fils-Aimé guy was saying, you know, day one sales aren't everything, blah, blah, blah. Like, fucking try telling that to investors. You're a company, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's a really weird decision they've made. Because it doesn't look like, oh, sick, there's so many games coming out. It looks like, oh, sick, there's five games coming out over the course of a year.
Exactly.
It's like, cool, I can take games on the go. Awesome. That sounds great to me. Which games am I taking on the go, though?
I mean,
I'm the biggest apologist of all time, and I've said the whole way through, like, I still came out of this event going,
the Holocaust never happened. Yeah, no, I know. You're always apologizing. Yeah, yeah.
For me, like, you know what? Just being able to play these games when I'm traveling a bit in the next month is cool. But then I went, well,
what fucking games?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's just Zelda, it's like, well, I don't, you know.
I'm going to play that Rayman game from 4 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, you can say, like, yes, you want to stagger releases, but no one's going to buy your console if there aren't enough games at launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those releases won't matter.
And like, not to get ahead of ourselves, but
let's not. Because I know what you're about to say.
Yeah.
We played Mario Kart as well.
We played Mario Kart. So Mario Kart was the first time where we played the game in portable mode. For me, I've played heaps of that game. It felt great on the handheld.
It looked fantastic on that screen.
Yep.
But again, here's the other thing.
It was Mario Kart, though. It was Mario Kart 8. I've played enough of that game to just be like, okay, this is this exactly.
Yes.
And the rumor was going around that there'd be 16 new tracks on this thing.
That's not the case. Yeah.
There's zero new tracks.
And there's like four or eight battle ones.
Yeah, and a couple of new characters. Like,
I don't enjoy that battle mode in that game. And the whole thing was, oh, we've improved it. Still wasn't fun. We played it and I still had no fun.
No, I just wanted to race
the track.
That course
was too big.
Yeah.
It just wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it, and it makes sense to put in there as like a, you know, hey, you can play locally now. That was a big complaint people had about the Wii U version.
I would just never take it over a race.
Yeah.
Same. Oh, big time. But I've always felt that way about battle mode. Like, I never, even the 64 one, which people
I really enjoyed the 64 one because the levels were well made, I think. And, this was just, it was just a figure eight loop thing. I don't know if this is from the original game even because it did have a battle mode. Cool. So
this was a new track. I actually thought the track was pretty cool.
I thought it was bullshit. Like,
I didn't like it.
Yeah. I don't know. It just like...
Yeah.
Anyway.
But
that game's still good.
So the thing is, it's a great game. The thing is, like, I kind of, when that rumor was going around that there's new tracks on it, I was like, oh, that's a cool way of, like, having a game ready to go that's really good for people that missed the Wii U, but also kind of, you know, doing a bit of service to people who bothered with the Wii U version.
Yeah.
But there's nothing new in it. It's ready to go. It's not out until April the 28th.
That's absolutely
insane. Why is it not coming out on day one?
Yeah.
Like,
the thing of sitting, like, there were four of us three and some other guy came over.
Yep.
And the four of us sitting there and playing against each other on different Switches, it didn't feel particularly fun. You know what I mean? Like, we were all there
we
next to each other.
We felt very separate.
Yeah. There was none of the, like, ah, fuck you, you got me. Because I didn't know who any of you were. Like, it doesn't do a very good job of showing you who everyone was.
I feel like that might have been the situation, though. If we were just sitting around and you were like, well, I'm Louis. Like, if we'd...
if there weren't, like, the PR people coming up and going, like, oh, nice red shell. No one ever talks like that.
Yeah.
Presumably,
you shut
like,
your
if you've
fucking
got,
mouth.
If you've
you
got,
want to talk about eye contact?
If you've got two, like, presumably you could have four friends around and two of you are on the TV and then two of you are on the other Switch in tabletop mode.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty cool. So, I just think that is, I mean, that to me, that... Everything about that Mario Kart 8 coming out is such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Like not having, not putting a bit more extra, just one more GP would have placated people.
Yep.
It not being out day one is fucking ridiculous. When the whole point
it
of it is
bonkers.
What like, shows off bonkers. Being able to take it on the road better than Mario Kart?
Absolutely.
Like, it's crazy. I think it's ready to go. Like,
I've said, before we knew about a new 3D Mario, like Mario Kart on the Switch as like a launch title or even like a bundle at launch.
Yeah.
Like that probably would have got me to buy it.
Yeah.
Throw that Splatoon and Zelda all at launch, which are all done by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I...
Fuck, that's not an unreasonable launch lineup.
Yeah, like, okay. That's... So this is the thing about the event. Everything, like I liked everything we played at the event, but I kept saying as we were walking around, all of this should be day one. Yeah. If all of this was day one, you'd go fucking kaboom.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and so I am treating December when Mario comes out as
the actual launch.
Day one. Yeah. Well, that's the only fucking get light. Anyway.
You and me played a bit of Snipper Clips, which is a little puzzle game where you control two characters and you kind of can cut shapes out of each other and you have to work together to solve all these puzzles. I mean, it's not the most amazing thing in the world. I thought it was pretty fun.
It was fun. It was like something you get for your kid if you really hated, you know, I don't know, competitive games or
your
something.
Kid.
It felt a bit like an app. It felt I'm sure
maybe
it,
like one of those free games on PS Plus or whatever, like that sort of level of things.
But I liked it.
It seemed like a cool one.
I had a good time. Yeah. And again, you know, if there's not much else coming out and I had the money, I'd probably get it.
Guess what? There is not much else coming out.
Imagine a world where it's something that I think would be cool to sit down with someone and sort of like get and show them and be like, hey, but you know.
And it worked in that tabletop mode. That's how you played it.
Yeah, that was the way that they showed off the tabletop mode, which is where you have the screen and Joy-Cons. And they had this little, that area was kind of set up like a little cafe very weird cafe where you just sat right up against a wall and the instruments you're using are chained into the table.
Yeah, Melbourne laneways, man.
Oh, no eye contact, just look at the wall. That's great. But it's the kind of like, the kind of puzzle game where that gameplay can be addictive and you can just like very motivated to just smash through each level and like the physics and everything was very good and very fine tuned.
But again, if that was like a little bonus, if that was like an extra little thing that was coming out, you'd be like, hey, this is really cool. As it stands, it being like the be-all and end-all of
here's your game for April.
games you can play.
If that was a level in like Switchverse, you know, the pack-in, that'd
definitely
be cool.
So then we went over. We kind of saved this till the end of the day.
Yes.
We all went over, and at the same time, we played the demo of Breath of the Wild, which is...
It was up in the corner in like this sort of castle they'd built.
Yeah.
With all these people, you know, the Nintendo reps standing at the front going, you're here to play the new Zelda?
Yeah.
The new Zelda's here. Oh my God, can you believe the new Zelda's here? This is going to be incredible. It's the new Zelda. And like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So this was like...
You have such little understanding of people just doing their job.
I know.
They're being paid to do.
I don't... Like, even if it's your job to lie to me,
I went to a bar last night and this loser was standing up on stage under the lights talking into a microphone about his life
but
and trying to be entertaining
lying.
To me.
It's just, it's that fake, I know it's their job.
None of your material actually happened to you. You lie to people on a nightly basis.
That is not true. I have always been whatever I talk about.
Bad at dirty talking.
So the
setup, by the way, it was like...
I'm not having a go at these people. I just don't like the default PR mode.
You don't like
general.
The corporate system.
No,
This is my favorite thing about the day was...
Carlin.
I decided to just buy into everything because...
Buying into everything Nintendo regardless. Anyway.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I was so excited to be invited to this event. I was like, this is so cool. Like, this is something that I could only have dreamed of
when I was
13.
That shit of showing 10-year-old me that would have made my 10-year-old me
I was tempted to not tell
lose
you...
some weight.
I was tempted to not tell you that I had an extra password because I just had it in the back of my head that you would come in and be your cynical old self, like you wouldn't like the fucking color of the wallpaper or something. And I just knew I was going to be going out of my mind about how good this day was.
Yeah.
And I did not want a little voice in it, but it was very funny predicting the elements of the day that you, like the people that were playing the games with us and how excited they were, I could tell you in your head going, fuck this.
Well, yeah. You're right, I'm predictable, but it's just fake.
I also didn't like that stuff and don't ever like that stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
But I don't know.
Just
I don't,
so important it does,
I don't love it, but it's a media
shit.
Event. Like, yeah. They're there to, they're, like, us being invited there is the purpose of that is for them to sell units.
Yeah.
So, what? It's not like you. What do you want? You want a guy in a Nintendo shirt to be there going, geez, the launch lineup's pretty weak, isn't it?
All I want is for them to go like, hey, so what did you think? Yeah, this is how this works. Rather than going like, whoa, sick curve punch. You know, like...
I mean,
you don't have to pretend you're fucking extreme skating all the time, you know?
Maybe he's not pretending. Maybe he just genuinely loves the system.
I can read people.
My preference is there's no people at each thing. It's just a bunch of
robots.
Set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
the ideal future.
Fine.
No, it's, I'm not having a go at them. It's just the PR smile you have to put on when you do that job.
Yeah.
It is grating. And it is for them too. I totally understand. Like, it
That's true. We do know people who work in promo.
I've had to do that shit. Like, it sucks. And I guess that's part of why I do it.
But
like,
I go into that stuff going, well, this is part of the pack. This is just part of the package that you have to accept. Like, it's a little cheesy having a guy, you know, go fucking ape shit when you use a fucking red shield properly in Mario Kart. But this whole event is, it's PR. Like, it's spin. Whatever.
Totally, yes. Yeah. And, like, no offense to anybody involved in it. It's just the way it is.
It's certainly not worth talking about for 10 minutes on a podcast.
We
got to
change the whole system, man. We got to love each other. We're all brothers and sisters.
Well, why don't you start by loving the promo people?
Because they ain't our brothers and sisters. No, they are. But I just, of everyone that you agree with me, ads suck.
Yeah.
And a human ad, I feel bad for everyone involved.
Yeah.
So, Zelda.
There was one dude there. I think the guy when we were... What game was it? There was something when we were playing, maybe ARMS. Mm. That guy was super chilled out. He wasn't commentating at all, I remember.
Yeah.
To the point where I thought, you must be pretty close to getting fired. Because everyone else was like very over the top, like, yeah, how good's Mario Kart? And he was just there like, anyway, you move the controller, fucking go for your life.
Yeah.
It's like Splatoon and shit. Like, they have to do it. It's their job. I get it.
Yeah.
Going like, come on, yellow team.
Yeah.
Like, I think I hate esports and shit as well. Like, I just have a huge aversion to any sort of encouraging word.
Yeah. Like, it's over the top, but who cares?
Yeah.
Me.
Like, who cares?
Me.
I know.
The grumpy neighbor from a sitcom in the 80s. Get off of my lawn.
So we played Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were all playing it at the same time. It's the same demo build from E3.
Yeah, apparently. It was shown on the Wii U at E3.
Now, okay, so it's kind of... It's a weird... It basically, the demo just starts from the start of the game.
It's 20 minutes long.
You get 20 minutes in it, and you start from the very start of the game, which is kind
of
weird.
Well, sort of the start of the game. It feels like they've skipped some kind of opening.
Yeah.
But there was still sitting through a lot of kind of stuff where it was like, just drop me in the forest and let me have a go. Okay.
You wake up, you walk out of this like crypt.
Yeah.
You've got a little tablet thing that's like a stone tablet in the thing, but it looks like a Switch or a Wii U pad.
Yeah.
You go out, does a little title, and then you're moving around.
Yeah, you pick up like a shirt and pants, so you learn how to use your inventory before you even leave the cave.
Yeah. What did you guys do? Because I went to a beacon thing and put the tablet in like a little kind of rock thing.
Well, so
and then this big tower came out of the ground where I could see everything.
Yeah, to move back slightly, like they sat us down and just explained like, hey, here it is with a controller set up on the TV at first. We encourage you to put the Joy-Con things in and like take the Switch out and do all that. So they gave me that small Joy-Con grip thing. Just to reiterate, it feels cramped.
Yeah.
It feels like a smaller Dreamcast controller a little bit. Like just sort of
so
off.
Yeah, this is the grip that comes packaged in with the system that you slide the Joy-Con on.
Which
to either side
is not a charger.
Apparently, I can't believe that. That can't be true.
I will never use that. I'm just going to get a pro controller, and I'm never going to use that Joy-Con grip.
I just like those pro controllers are like $90, but anyway.
Yeah.
So
we're also
they sit us down in front of these TVs
quite
very close. So and they're quite big TVs, and straight away the game looks really jaggy and aliased, or you know that it looks. Kind of
rough. It looks old.
Yeah.
It looks like an old
game. It is quite low resolution and it looks it. And then you run out and the grass is all popping in and the frame rate is fucked.
The frame rate for all of us dropped pretty regularly.
At like random spots seemingly. Like not even necessarily when much was happening. And it did drop when shit was happening as well. Like
totally.
If there was a huge explosion or whatever.
Also, the draw distance is incredibly far, which means
for broad detail, but then for the grass and shit, it's really near.
Yes,
so your shit's popping in all the time, but then also in the distance, you can see all the mountains and stuff, and you can go there and you know, cool, whatever.
But I think that's what the frame
rate
stuff is.
Like I looked through the little telescope thing, at some like huge robot spider climbing up the volcano that you can see, and it looked that was fucking sick.
Yeah,
like and I love the art style.
The art style's great.
Yes,
great. It's kind of like got a bit of cartoonish edge to it, like. When he's climbing, the little sweat kind of things kind of pop out of his
head.
Yeah,
totally. It's like a much better version of Skyward Sword.
Yeah, but then it's also still got this mature, especially from the trailer that we saw at the end of the presentation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it with in regards to how it looks on the screen, I was a little bit like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
But as soon as I took it off the TV, it looked way better on the handheld.
It did.
I mean, the frame rate didn't drop at all. It looked better.
The frame rate felt better on the handheld version, which was fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like playing the Wii U version on the screen.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything on the handheld looked smoother, looked crisper. None of those issues were there.
It seemed
like
to run better.
Something big kind of happened when I was watching it on the TV. And this is before I'd taken it out as the handheld, and I was kind of like, oh, it'd actually be a bit of a bummer to play this in the handheld mode because that stuff wouldn't feel as big as it does on the TV.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I went into handheld mode, I was like, no, but the screen is so good and everything, and if you have headphones in, it still is going to feel big. I think I would just prefer to play it in handheld mode every time. Like
the gyroscope aiming with that might be a little annoying, like Star Fox Zero was.
I never got up to any gyroscope bits with it.
Yeah,
well,
me neither.
You can use that just for the bow because you always have the bow.
Right.
Did you get a bow at any point?
So. No.
I picked up an axe. And my axe!
You always have when you have a bow, this was actually kind of cool. It's always on the right trigger. So you can do a really quick, like, shoot an arrow off and then still have your sword. Like, it's not like a pull your bow out slowly.
Oh, okay,
That's cool.
Yeah, I really liked that.
You know what was weird? What was interesting to me was going from, like at the start, like the inventory, pressing a button to equip a thing.
It felt like it was made for the gamepad, right? Like, to do that quickly with a touch screen.
Not so much that it was made for that. It just bummed me out where it's like, why didn't the gamepad work? It's just so much better not having to pause. I remember like playing through Wind Waker HD, just having it all there, being able to touch stuff at any time, not having to pause and go through a menu and flick over screens. I was like, why didn't the fucking gamepad catch on?
That's the way it'll be.
It's such
still.
A good idea.
On the Wii U, that'll be how it is.
Yes, and it's not, apparently.
Oh really? You have to pause and it's on the screen?
Apparently it doesn't use the gamepad at all on the Wii U version.
That can't be right because that's it insane. Felt like it was designed for that. Like I'm you were dragging shit around. Like
I could be wrong. I do know that when it was...
I may be crazy.
Well, maybe I'm just thinking of this version of it that people were playing at E3. It didn't... I remember the report was it's not using any gamepad stuff on
right.
it.
Okay.
And I think that's maybe...
Well, that'll suck if that's the case.
I mean, it's just... it's again, it just comes down to like they're developing this for two things at the same time. It's just more work for a console that's dying off and they want this to be... They're not going to want to make the Wii U version a little better in terms of control.
No, they're 100% focusing on the Switch. This is the exact same situation as with Twilight Princess on the Wii where the GameCube one ended up actually being slightly better because the controls on the Wii thing were kind of annoying.
They hadn't worked it out yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing. Thank God this doesn't have like the Joy-Cons, you detach them to fucking use your sword and all that shit.
So Nintendo released a thing today about what the differences are between the Switch version and the Wii U version. Do you want me to go through them quickly?
I can't see any reason why you should.
Both on the same day, March 3rd, both have a frame rate of 30 frames per second. Both versions have the same content. I know you love content.
Mm. Hell yeah, bitch.
On a TV, the Switch version renders the game in 900p while the Wii U is in 720. It did not look like it was 900, you know, like it didn't look as good as that on the TV. It looked shitty for that.
I don't know if I can describe this properly, but it felt like on the handheld Switch, it looked great. It looked like a proper resolution for the size of the screen.
Yeah.
You put it in the dock and... while the game is playing, part of the process of the game while it's in the dock is upscaling it to a TV, and that's why it slows everything down.
I guess so, yeah. And it's weird. I don't know if it was like brains playing tricks with us that the frame rate was slower. On the TV.
Also, we should. We did say this at the start, but it is worth including the huge caveat that this is apparently a 6 month old. Build of the game.
Which I will still
say, it is very weird to be showing that off at a media event where you've just kind of done a big reveal of this thing.
But it does make sense.
You really need the word to be good because
But developing demos takes a huge amount of time. If you've kind of got one ready to go, you can.
I know, but because the London event, I think, may have been like time zone wise, maybe the first.
I think it was, yeah.
And I remember reading some stuff even from that and going, oh, that's really interesting, but I bet they just had a dud time of it. And then it happened to me and I was like, okay. And then it happened to all of you guys. I wouldn't mind betting it's happened to like 98% of people who've played that demo, which is not a good look.
No. Yeah, it was really weird. Like it really took me by surprise because it was pretty regular that the frame rate would drop massively.
Yeah.
So, and to the point that it really affected how enjoyable it was to play.
Yeah.
Just really quickly, the Switch version has higher quality environmental sounds. As a result, the sounds of steps, water, grass, etc. are more realistic and enhances the game's open air feel. Mm. That sounds like a bullshit thing.
Yeah.
The physical copy of the Wii U version will require 3 gigabytes of memory on the Wii U system or external hard drive. Some icons, like on-screen buttons, differ between the two versions, but that makes sense. The buttons look different.
Yeah.
A special edition and master edition of the Wii U version are not available.
Okay, right.
Mm. So only the standard thing, which is fine.
So
no difference is basically what they're saying.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. Like, it spent most of its life in development for the Wii U, so it makes sense. I don't think the selling point, especially with Nintendo, has never been like, look how amazing graphically this is. The selling point of this is like, hey, you could get it on the Wii U, or you could get a Switch and take it with you on the go. That's the selling point.
Yeah, the selling point has never been, look how amazing graphically this is, but... I don't feel like there's ever been a case with a Nintendo game, I guess other than like 64 games, a lot of them were, you know, ran shittily if you go back to them now.
Yeah.
But it really was surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To just like, it was real choppy. It was.
Yeah. I almost sort of thought, well, let's not bother playing Zelda because it's, if we run out of time, whatever, it's Zelda, we know it's going to be great. This was the biggest surprise for me of the day.
Yeah.
I'm worried about this game. Like, beyond all the graphical stuff.
It wasn't that fun to play, was it?
I've thought this about since I sort of first sort of started seeing footage of it. I really worry that this open world stuff is going to be, it just feels empty.
It yeah. really does.
Some I of my favorite things.
To like just a huge amount of empty space. Well, even that's... when you came across shit, it was those little goblins totally. Again and again yeah. that aren't fun to fight. It's well, that yeah. really so simple.
You yeah. had that far draw distance and stuff and you were walking around seeing nothing and then the enemies would pop in.
Yeah.
Like that's why it felt empty because looking around it is empty.
Yeah, yeah. Suddenly there's a warthog charging you yeah. and you're like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah. And my favorite thing of Zelda games is...
I mean, we only played
is...
20 minutes, but fuck, man.
Yeah. My favorite thing of Zelda games is like walking around villages and you know, the villages are kind of yeah. assholes to you. And
which
like,
they've shown that there are is that
I know,
stuff.
Like in the trailers we've seen a lot more stuff. But yeah.
It's just one small part, I guess.
I just felt like, I don't know. I mean, I know they don't want to spoil it, but if you're putting together a demo, drop us in the middle of it. Drop yeah. us in the middle of a... like as soon, I got into a dungeon and I was using the magnet power to kind of move a block out of the way so I could go down. And I was like, okay, here we go. And then it was like the end. Yeah. It's like, well, it took me 20 minutes just to walk to this bit. Like yeah. it does not do a good job of showing you that it's going to be a fun game.
Deliberately yeah. jumped off a couple of cliffs as well.
Wake me up inside.
And the loading times on that are yeah. fucking long.
Yeah. For cartridge too. That's yeah. weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that it really, like, I didn't enjoy playing it. It didn't feel good. The controls felt off.
Well, I
like,
stopped
it didn't
playing.
Feel good to move around. I don't know if you yeah. agree with that, but it just.
Yeah, I stopped playing before the 20 minutes was up. I was like,
right.
I'm done.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm done here.
And, like, obviously, that's going to be a long game, and maybe it takes
exactly.
more time to get into it. Like,
I'm sure. not saying I'm out. I mean, it's like.
You could play Ocarina of Time in the middle of fucking, you know, that big field. And think it was bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. It's. You know. I think this is more a problem of it's not something that lends itself to being demoed in the way that they're demoing it.
Yeah.
And also, you're going to want to sit on the couch and sink some time into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just have some concerns now, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, when the early reviews come out,
yeah. Yeah.
what the take on it is, because again, if this is, you know, this is it for day one. This is it for 2 months
yeah.
after the system comes out.
Yeah.
They
and also you can get it on the Wii U.
All their eggs in this basket. Exactly.
Like, this yeah. whole thing, all it's done is made me realize, oh, shit, I'm going to buy a Wii U.
Yeah. yeah.
That,
yeah.
like, I was completely sold on the Switch the day before that presentation.
Yeah.
For like day one, hey, we do this podcast. Let's fucking all get them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge amount of fun.
Yeah.
And now, like, I could get one on yeah. day one. I don't want to.
Yeah.
yeah.
And like Mario is the first thing that's even close to making me think about like getting one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So say we all did get a Switch day one.
Yeah.
And we all got together, decided to play a game together. What would we be playing?
I guess.
Yeah, that's a real good
well, I
point.
I mean, you know, Bomberman's out day one. And, you know, again,
yeah,
Bomberman should be something
Bomberman.
Where in 8 months you go, oh, Bomberman's cheap now. I like Bomberman.
But Bomberman
I'll get that.
Like,
instead, it's going to probably become the thing that I definitely buy on day one because
yep.
it's if I want a break from Zelda, that's like my only option.
Totally. Yep. And Bomberman was fun because it's Bomberman, but like it didn't look great.
No.
It didn't it felt like it didn't run well.
Yeah.
A couple of times. Like it
yeah.
just it wasn't a great Bomberman. And
yeah. Yeah.
Fuck, man.
I mean, it was fun. I mean, I hadn't played a Bomberman game in a very long time, and it did remind me that they're very fun. But again, it shouldn't be.
You don't sit around with friends and play Bomberman for like 3 hours drinking beers. Like,
yeah.
You'd play Mario Kart.
I would absolutely do that. But
we'll have to do it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. So this.
As long as there's no PR. Like, the PR people were nice. I feel bad for saying all that stuff before. They were all nice, but I just. It's my fault.
So the other thing is. This
don't make eye contact.
In many ways, this kind of mimics the Wii launch, where it's a Zelda ported from another console.
Yep.
A weird.
Well, did they even have the Wind Waker at launch? Oh, the Wii. Sorry, not Wii.
The Wii. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The weird little, you know, mini games collection.
Yep.
Which who knows? People might. People look. Who the fuck knows?
You're relying on everyone being insane.
I'm extremely skeptical. I don't see why.
Weird shit catches on. Apparently,
yeah.
they've sold a lot of pre-orders and shit on this.
I
like,
think I yeah.
Nintendo
brand
is a hot word at the moment.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, I'm the biggest apologist of all. I probably still will get one day one. It's just I want to go all in. I want to be able to go to Brisbane and have
yeah.
like a bunch of new shit coming out, like a bunch of stuff that I'm excited to play and.
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I've
given them the benefit of the doubt for so long
yeah.
and
yeah.
it's ridiculous to still be saying this, but fuck, there has to be a Direct coming up, or there has to be a big E3.
There's a Fire Emblem Direct.
I know. Yeah. Well, this is the thing, is that I kind of look at the back end of this year and go, apart from Mario, what is there? And the thing that I'm forgetting is that, you know, Fire Emblem and Xenoblade, they're really big in Japan. So that's that kind of is big business for them.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Just personally, I don't have a huge interest in either of them, yeah.
Me either.
I will say that I've had more people who aren't particularly interested in video games ask me about the Switch than about anything else other than Pokemon Go in quite a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting. Like, even my mum and stuff who don't care. Like, so that's
interesting. Just to kind of do a bit of, like, you know, alternate, you know, ideal universe, I think this 1-2 Switch thing is, I don't think it's a good selling point. I think, you know, you had Wii Sports showed off the motion controls really well. Nintendo Land showed off the second screen idea really well. So why not launch with, keep it on message, this is a console that you can take anywhere. Bring out a launch game that's just like Super Mario All-Stars style, that's just a pack-in of some of your greatest hits. And sure, it's nothing new, it's nothing amazing, but that better than Switch is going to show off the idea of the console, which, like, hey, Mario Sunshine, you loved it. Mario 64, you loved it. Well, now you can take these classic games on the go with you.
Well,
and it's not like that's amazing or groundbreaking, but that does a better job. I would be more excited. I would, you know, I'd be like, cool, that's day one.
Yeah.
It's been ages since I played those games. And, you know, whatever.
That shit could have been done by their online servers not being as fucked as it sounds. Because this is the other thing we haven't even talked about, and they didn't talk about there. The things that are definite so far is it's a certain amount of money a month you have to pay. They haven't said how much. The voice chat is a smartphone app.
Yeah.
You get one game a month for that month and then it disappears.
Yeah. Yep.
They are adding like online multiplayer to old NES and SNES games.
Which is cool.
That's sick, you know.
Yeah.
If only there were a cheaper way to do that. Which they are competing, not to be cynical again, but they are competing with piracy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the
competition there isn't the price. The competition is ease.
Yeah.
Totally.
It always has been. With Netflix, with Spotify.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they've proven that,
Nintendo is fucking up their online shit again.
Yeah.
And unless this thing is like a dollar a month, you know, but then why charge at all?
The storage size of the system is 32 gig, which is insane.
If they'd have come bursting out of the gate with, here's Nintendo Flix,
you know,
you can get all this shit, like, guess what? No one's fucking buying Super Metroid again.
Yeah.
You know, it's not happening, Nintendo.
Well, but the thing is, people are.
I guess they are. They literally just did. Millions of people bought that fucking NES thing with 30 games on it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. People are. And so here's the thing that I wanted to, because I should also say, so after we left the event, we went our separate ways. I went and met up with my friend Chuck, who's a longtime listener of the show.
Hi, been Chuck.
Featured here many, many
Chuck
times.
Chucky
boy. Slippery Chuck. we met up for a beer at just after 5 o'clock, and he wanted to know, he's like me, big Nintendo fanboy and apologist. He wanted to know everything. We sat there. It was like a dress rehearsal of this episode of the show. I just kind of talked him through everything, and we drank many, many beers. At about 10:45, this place was closing up, and the waitress came past while Chuck was in the bathroom, presumably taking a big shit.
Oh yeah.
Talk about eye contact.
And the waitress,
whatever.
The waitress was like, "Hey, I gotta say, you guys have been here for like over 5 hours now, like, you know, what have you been talking about? This must be some friendship that you guys have." And I was like, "We've been talking about Nintendo because they just announced a new console, and get this." And I like try and drag her into it. And she's like, "Anyway, here's the bill."
Yeah. I've added a little bit more.
The slippery bill. We talked about this at length for a long time. And a point that he made, and this kind of, you know, changed my mindset on this, because I've said this a lot on the show. People like to talk about Nintendo as if like the Switch, man, this has to be it, or this could be them. This could be their Dreamcast. This could be them not making hardware anymore. That's just not going to happen.
They've got like fuckloads of money.
They are absolutely not in the same position that Sega were in when they put out the Dreamcast.
You're completely right about that. But at the same time, it might not be worth their while to do it again if they could be making more money a different way.
I mean, the thing with the Wii U,
it's more about
the
that.
Wii U was like, a bomb. It still didn't lose the money. They've never made a console at a loss. Like, they make sure of that. And
that's why this thing costs so much.
Well, yeah. But weren't you saying, Ben, apparently what they made from the Wii, that's enough to float them
for like 100 years.
Yeah.
They don't.
So they could buy a boat? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. 100-year-old boat. But yeah, like they made enough profit because the Wii, again, is a console that was sold at a profit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it went incredibly well.
Mobile stuff.
They could lose money every year for 100 years and still have like heaps
totally,
of money.
Totally. But yeah. If you're an investor in that company, you don't give a fuck about that.
Like, sure, you just want growth.
Exactly. Yeah. And it might really come to a point where growth is not through proprietary hardware.
Yeah.
But this is the other interesting thing is that people like, you know,
I would fucking love that personally, but anyway.
People outside of like us, like real kind of people who are really analyzing this stuff.
Yeah.
People are into it. Like this is the thing.
Yeah.
We think it's a flop, but I'm pissed off because I'm a huge fan and I'm busting to play a new Mario. That's the only reason I think it's shitty.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, it kind of does make sense to go, well, the problem, I think that they think that this is them undoing the problems of the Wii U, where they're like, you know what? Well, we'll hold this out because people got pissed off because they bought a Wii U and then there was nothing coming up on the horizon.
Yeah.
So we'll stagger this stuff so people know there is stuff on the horizon.
But it was now, about I don't think volume they need.
Yes,
like,
totally. Yeah. I think all this stuff should be day one and they should be working on just having other stuff to stagger
exactly.
out.
Exactly. It should be both. Yeah,
but,
totally.
Yeah, but I think you can sort of see how they think because they also probably don't I don't think they view this as like this is a critical time for them or they view it as like we are in the toilet after the Wii U.
They're just
going, oh, that wasn't as successful as we would have liked. Let's move along. Time to bring out our next console.
Yeah, yeah. That definitely, and like they've said, like, hey, launch day isn't the biggest thing.
I think, Nox, you've mentioned, like, they seem too cocky. Like, it seems like they're like...
It's not even cocky. It's just completely separated from the rest of, like, from everyone else's moves and tone and pattern.
But you have to remember, in the past, that's worked for them. In the past, that's really worked for them.
Yeah.
It's only recently that's stopped paying off.
I guess, like, the GameCube, I guess, was the last time they tried to, like, okay, here's a match to the other ones.
Yeah.
And it didn't do great.
Because here's the thing, like, I've been thinking of this as, like, they binned the Wii U, basically, to make this.
Yeah.
That this is some weird kind of out-of-the-blue turnaround. But you look at the timeline, and it's not. It was just time for them to put out a new console.
Yeah, it's, like, slightly earlier than usual. But, like, if it had been this December, it would have made sense. And, honestly, it should be this December.
Yeah, they should have all of these games. Yeah. Like, the Zelda should just be coming out on Wii U and that should just be its swan song.
Yeah.
And you'd probably find a few more people would buy one right at the end. You'd probably recoup a bit more costs that way.
Yeah.
And then, have this thing out at the end of this year. Have it out in June, July and have all this stuff ready to go day one. Like,
And I am definitely interested in that new Mario.
Yes.
That looks really fun. Mario's always great. I am not going to consider getting a Switch until then.
Yeah, we have to look at... But also, I do think it's important to look at this as, man on the street. Like, you know, I think there's still interest in it. I think there's still... They've achieved the mission of a lot of people who previously weren't interested in Nintendo looking at it and going, okay, seems cool.
Yeah, I remember Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the next few months are going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm probably still in on day one. What can I say?
Yeah.
You know, I want to play the Zelda. I may as well get it on the Switch.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, All right. We've done a very good impression of me on Saturday night. How long's this gone for? Like
hour and a half.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any final thoughts?
Jerry.
I'm not totally dissuaded from the console as what it is. Like, I like the hardware.
Yeah.
It's fun to play. And I think, like, I will get it as soon as I can afford to get it, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still that interested in it.
Yeah.
I'm, like, that curious about it.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll play Zelda. Like, I want to play a big RPG.
Yeah.
But, man, that the launch strategy and the lineup and the release dates of everything is just fucking confusing.
Nothing like, that we've seen or played on Saturday was objectively bad. We just need more of it.
Yes.
We just need more
If you
games.
Treat 1-2 Switch as a tech demo, then yes.
It's fine. Like, it's not... Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
The tech in it is cool.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm at the point where there are enough games I missed out on the Wii U and I can get Zelda on that I'm way more interested in getting one of them.
Yeah.
And going back through that back catalogue of that.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
That'll be really fun because there's nothing that's just on the Switch that I care about enough to bother with one until December when Mario comes out. And I know I'll get one eventually.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't want to get one immediately, A, because the price will go down and shit, but B, I don't want it sitting there every day looking me in the eye, making direct eye contact with me and going like, I'm fucking useless at the moment.
I know, yeah. I know.
I'm because $480 bucks of nothing.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting is that the 3DS launched with a port of Star Fox and a port of Ocarina of Time.
And then they had to drop the price by like $150 before anyone would buy one.
I didn't buy one for like 3 years.
Yeah.
But my point is,
because then a bunch of shit started coming out.
But my point is, went on to become a huge success. Yeah. And they did a lot of really interesting stuff.
Totally.
3D Land at the time was like a real kind of reinvention of what a 3D Mario game is.
Yeah.
You know, Luigi's Mansion 2 kind of came out of nowhere. Mm. You know, the Animal Crossing game on there is really good.
Yeah.
They brought a Smash Brothers out on a handheld for the first time.
When that first Pokemon on that came out and Zelda was around the same time, I bought one and Mario Land at the same time. Playing through all three of those at once was fucking sick.
Yeah, Mario Kart 7 is really good.
Yeah, Mario Kart 7 is great. So I mean, I get very hung up on like, I just want it to be 2 years in the future and we have a library.
And they're still running that bullshit line they always do of like, no, the 3DS is going to keep going.
Yeah.
Like, no, it isn't. No. Fuck off. You said that about the Game Boy Advance and the DS and everything.
Totally. You've just made a better 3DS that can also be a home console. Yeah. Why will the 3DS exist?
Exactly. Yeah. And this is so much, mentally, I much prefer to think about this as a 3DS successor.
Yeah.
Because it's best in handheld mode.
Yeah.
It's that. And like, it can do the TV stuff, but it's a 3DS that can plug into a TV rather than a console that you can take with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's, I guess we got to wrap it up here. Because, I mean, that was the worst part of leaving on Saturday night was like, I could do another 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even done.
Yeah.
You know what?
Guess what? We'll talk about the Switch again.
Totally. One very quick thing. You know, ukulele, which I'm excited for, that's out in like April. I reckon that is going to potentially end up becoming the de facto first kind of big, like, new experience on the Switch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's also coming out for everything out. Else.
Like, well, sure, but, you know, like, so, you know, if I get one day one, I'll have the option of getting it PS4 and Switch. I'll pick the Switch because it means I can take it with me. And that's an important thing to remember with indies and with like stuff that comes out on all three. The edge that the Switch is going to have is that, that option of just being able to take it with you.
Almost
and
I think that's Vita really... Did. The Vita, like, I never had one, but it seemed cool that all those games like Shovel Knight and shit that are coming out for this, you could play them there anywhere and that is appealing.
I think that's a really interesting thing to remember. It's not just what they do. It's like, if you have a choice of console... Yeah, I'm gonna pick the Switch version.
But then, with how cagey or like vague all the third party things have been,
who knows?
Maybe you won't have a choice. You know? Yeah. So we'll see.
All right, we got to wrap it up for now, guys. We should remind you that we have our live show on sale April the 22nd at the European Beer Cafe at 4 p.m. We started planning some stuff for that. That's going to be really fun. Tickets on sale tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive. Ben, do you want to give out all the socials?
Yeah, at Filthy Cast Pod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com, which I still have to struggle to remember. paypal.me/filthypod if you'd like to donate some money to help keep the lights on.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to everyone who asked us questions of the Switch event and stuff like that.
Quickly mention I'm in Perth next week. I'm doing a show called It's Adam and Eve, Not Adam Knox. That's at the Noodle Palace. If you want to come to that, it's a bit of stand-up. It's going to be a bit of bloody fun. Come say hi afterwards.
It hopes to answer the question, what if Adam Knox real life?
Pretty disappointing. And I'm also doing three-course comedy, which is a show with a bunch of other people who are really funny. So that's worth coming to as well if you feel like it. But, you know, no pressure.
Wow. Hey, thanks, man. Guys.
I don't want to be a pushy PR guy.
We'll resume what I preach. We'll resume some sort of regular programming next week. Hopefully.
We've got some cool guests coming up as well.
Yeah, we've got some cool extra episodes we're going to do. Guys, thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Would that be audible? I clicked.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.